Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Good afternoon. It's Lanice Williams with another edition of the Cobb County edition of Business Radio X, where I highlight the best and the brightest in and serving Cobb County. And today I have two spectacular ladies with me. I have Lindsay Walker, who is the CEO and the lead publicist of PR Mentality. And she brought along her client, Tiffany Nicole Webb, who is the owner and visionary behind Unique Occasions by T. Nicole. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, no problem. I'm glad to have you here. I'm going to start with you, Lindsay. If you can tell us a little bit about your background and how you started PR Mentality.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, thank you.
You're welcome.
So excited to be here. And so basically, I started PR Mentality. I'd always loved everything about public relations. I loved, you know, pitching and connecting, talking to the media, working with different clients. And actually, I started PR Mentality out of a desire to work in my industry, but also because I was unable to find employment at the time. And so I just kind of really just took a leap of faith
forced into entrepreneurship.
Yeah,
I've been there, done that.
Yeah. But you know what? I always tell people it's the most, I wouldn't trade my experience for anything in the world. It's the most amazing thing to be able to create your own opportunity. You know, and I really feel like me being an entrepreneur, it's my destiny. It is what I'm meant to do. I have never, you know, worked a 9-to-5, which I'm very blessed to be able to say that. You know, but PR Mentality, I love it. It's my baby. You know, I have great clients like Tiffany and so many others that really just inspire me and motivate me to keep going, you know. But so I really just started with a desire, a dream, and I took a leap of faith. I actually started the company in St. Louis, Missouri, where I'm from, and then I moved here to the Atlanta area, and, you know, it's just been a great experience all across the board. I have, you know, amazing friends, amazing mentors that have really, really just kind of helped me. You know, I'm just a driven person, so mm-hmm. I'm always motivated to go to that next level. So that's mm-hmm. pretty much how everything started.
So, now, what is the difference? Maybe there isn't a difference. I don't know. But between PR and being a publicist?
Well, actually, I'm so glad that you asked that question because it definitely gives me time and an opportunity to really clear things up. So PR is public relations. That is my role. That's, you know, what I do. It's like advertising. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you ask what is PR and publicity, or what is, you know, PR and a publicist, it's the same thing as saying what is advertising and what is, you know, an advertising agent. Mm-hmm. You see, it's the same thing as, you know, public relations is the actual job, it's the role, but then, like, being a publicist is the person that does that job.
So the publicist does the PR
public relations work.
Got
right,
you,
exactly.
You. Okay, got you. So what should a person expect from their publicist?
That's a great, great question. Again, so I think that a lot of people, you know, they see things on TV and they just take it and say, hey, I want to be on Oprah. So you as a publicist, you should get me on Oprah and it should be done today.
And if you don't do it, you're fired.
Exactly. And a
Make
lot
it happen.
Of, right, right. And a lot of things take time. Mm-hmm. Publicity, garnering publicity takes time. I mean, I pitch day in and day out. Sometimes it can take a week for me to get a placement. Sometimes it can take a month for me to get a particular placement. So it's all about having patience. You should expect that your publicist is going to work hard for you. Mm-hmm. You should expect to communicate with your publicist every week, every 2 weeks, depending on what you have going on, if you guys are working on a big project. But mainly, you should expect results, but you should also expect at least 3 to 6 months time frame to really start to maximize and see just maximize results and mm-hmm. opportunity within the length of your campaign. Mm-hmm. I always tell clients and potential clients, it takes at least 3 to 6 months to really, really start to see that traction that you're looking for. You know, sometimes we are able to garner placements within the first month of working together, but a lot of times it just takes time because you have to look at if I'm pitching, you know, Essence or if I'm pitching InStyle, they have a 3 month lead time. The editors have a 3 month lead time. And so I have to pitch to them in November if I want to be in the June issue, you know, because they work that far ahead. So a lot of times if I'm pitching for that, you're not going to get that when I'm pitching it, you know. So I just always encourage people to be patient with your publicist. Yes, your publicist should be getting you results. You should see the pitch. You should see the status report. You mm-hmm. should see, you know, what they're doing, how you guys are working together. Have weekly or biweekly meetings or however that particular publicist works. But you should expect that your results take time.
Right. So how does it work? So if you pitch something to a particular source once and you don't hear back from them, as a publicist, do you continue to pitch to the same person?
Yes.
Or do you-
yes. Sometimes, you know, it's an ongoing joke between me and my journalist friends is sometimes publicists are really, really annoying and we're really, really like, you know, just very, very persistent. But, you know, it's kind of like, okay, if I pitch to someone and they don't get back to me within the next couple of days, I'm following up. Hey, you know, I have this great client. I reached out to you. What's going on? Or, you know, what are you working on that I can assist with? Because I work with this client, and this client, you know, but sometimes people on the other side of the table, we have to understand as human beings that people are busy. You know, sometimes one of my friends, that is a television producer, associate producer, she's like always working on deadline. And so if she's on deadline, no one can really get through because she's busy trying to crank out what she has to crank out for her boss, you know? And so it's like, I have to answer to my clients. She has to answer to her news editor or whomever, you know, is over her at that time. And so if she doesn't answer, it's okay to follow up, you know, but you don't want to, it's kind of like a catch 22 because you don't want to miss out on an opportunity. If someone says, hey, we're looking into this, give me a couple of weeks. And then I follow up with you in a couple of weeks and you're like, oh, well, someone else already, you know, gave me the information. So it's kind of like, you just have to be discerning and know when to follow up, when to back away, mm-hmm. when to, you know, sometimes it is a matter of, if you don't answer me, I'm going to go here to a colleague of yours because you may be busy and they may be looking for story ideas.
Right.
So, you know, it really just depends. But no, it's public relations, being a publicist, it's all about the follow-up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Same thing in business, just Indeed. Business in general.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I definitely understand that. So you went over what your clients can expect from you, but what would you expect from your clients? In addition to, I know you mentioned having patience, is there anything else you expect from them?
Yes, absolutely. When you are looking to hire a publicist, you need to be very aware of first what it is that you want, mm-hmm. what it is that you're desiring. Are you ready to take on a publicist? Because there are different roles. Like, for instance, I have, I do consulting as well as media pitching. So sometimes a client may not be ready for, you know, a full-on campaign, but there are other ways that we can work together. If you are in fashion or if you are in beauty and you're just starting your company, if you don't have your product together, you know, if you don't have your bio written the way that it should be or your written content, then no, you're not ready to pitch to the media, but I can assist you with writing the copy. I can assist you with creating your lookbook, creating your product shoot, your photo shoot, mm-hmm. you know, so it just depends on where mm-hmm. that prospective client is, first of all. And then secondly, really just knowing and doing your homework. So when you come to me, know what you want, know what your audience is, know how you would like them to respond to you, and then be ready to put in the work to do those things. Mm-hmm. You know, if you already have your content, great. If you already have your product, great. Now it's a matter of, okay, well, on this side of the table, we have the media, so I know or I think that due to my demographic, I'm a fit for X, Y, and Z publications. Mm-hmm. And then also on the influencer side, you know, okay, I can reach out to this blogger because they have this amount of followers, or we can try to, you know, pull pieces, again, if we're talking about a fashion client, to, you know, be in this certain publication or work with a stylist to where this person can wear our clothes. So you have to do your homework as well. And then together we work, you know, collectively to make sure that you're on the right track. And finally, my biggest thing is just know, and I know, you know, that everyone has their own opinion, but from my standpoint of being a publicist, it's not my job to increase your return on investment directly. That's not my job. Mm-hmm. My job is to get you that exposure. Mm-hmm. Your publicist is the liaison. I have the contacts. You're trying to reach these contacts, or you're trying to get in these publications. So my goal is to work with you to make sure that you're getting visible, to make sure that you're getting that exposure, not to increase your return on investment. Right. You're retaining me for that visibility factor. Right. You're retaining me for that, you know, particular exposure piece. So a lot of times what I'll tell people, especially, you know, if they call me and they just don't know, it's my job to educate people at the end of the day. So whether we work together, whether we don't work together, you can say, I talked to her, this is what she said, you know, and then you can take that information and make a conscious decision. But, I always tell people that if you're looking to increase your sales, public relations is not for you. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're looking to directly increase your sales, you need to do something else. I always use the example of AT&T. AT&T has a communications department. They have a human resources department. They have a sales department. So all of those three things work together to push the AT&T brand. Mm-hmm. You know, and so the communications specialist that works over at AT&T, it's not their job to increase the sales of AT&T. That's what the different storefronts on the mobility side of AT&T are for. But if I was, you know, working in the communications department, AT&T wouldn't come to me to say, hey, well, why are your numbers this way? Right. They would come to me and say, hey, we need to make sure that our CEO is on this page, and this page, or we need to make sure that they're getting interviewed in these different places. Mm-hmm. So you have to keep those things in mind. I think a lot of times, and you know, it's relevant that people should have questions, especially if you're a small business owner and you're starting out. You want to know exactly what you're paying for and how you're going to get a return on investment. But you also have to know that with public relations, it's not a direct factor of increasing your sales. It is a direct factor of increasing your visibility and your exposure, you know, but it is not directly increasing sales. However, if, let's say, again, I'm using Oprah because everyone knows Oprah, right? So if you were going on the Oprah show and she says, hey, you know, do you have product to give away? And so you work it out, or your publicist works it out with the audience coordinator that handles the giveaways, then your product gets exposed on Oprah, and that correlates into sales. So it can happen, right, but it's not directly. Immediate. Like when you work with me, mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. When you work with me, I'm not going to guarantee you that you're going to increase your revenue in 3 months.
Right.
You know, I'm not even going to guarantee you that I can get you placements in 3 months, because I don't guarantee, you know, results. I don't guarantee, mm-hmm. you know, certain, because what happens is if I tell you I can get you on the Today Show and then the Today Show doesn't happen, then I've overpromised and I haven't delivered. Mm-hmm. But if I underpromise and I overdeliver and I get you the Today Show on top of Business Radio X, on top of, you know, whatever, then, you know, that's right. What, that I exceeded your expectations.
And then, you look like a superstar. You know? You're the hero at that point.
Exactly. Absolutely. So, you know, and that's pretty much what you should expect, is just your publicist should always underpromise and overdeliver. Mm-hmm. You know, and if there's a publicist out there that says, hey, I can get you on X, Y, and Z, and they're not just saying, you know, hey, we can pitch to certain publications, but they're telling you that they can get you these things, run.
Quickly, right?
Absolutely.
Unless they actually own that publication.
Right. Or unless, you know, if they are, the producers, right. or not even the producers, but if they are the owner uh-huh. of the network's granddaughter or grandson, then okay, go right. for it, you know.
Right, got you. So what are some tips that you would give to some aspiring publicist?
Wow. Know what you're getting yourself into. Mm-hmm. Don't be fooled by what you see. The job requires that we work really hard. And I think a lot of young people get caught up into the glitz of glamour because you see people, you know, on the BET Awards, or you may see me, you know, taking a picture with a certain celebrity. And so mm-hmm. you think that it's glamorous. But there's a lot of work involved. There's a lot of work. There's a lot of networking. There's a lot of late nights and staying up and doing things that you don't want to do, but you have to do them in order to get to that next level. So know what you're getting yourself into. Number two, be prepared to be told no. I get told no every single day when I'm trying to pitch a client or when I'm trying to reach out to someone for, you know, meeting. The answer is no, but it's not about how many no's you get. It's about how many times you continue to keep going until you get a yes. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. I think at an event that I was at, someone mentioned how many times the owner of KFC got told no before he opened up his business. Mm-hmm. You know, and I saved a tweet in my phone that Pharrell put out on Twitter when he was writing the song Happy. It got turned down and he had to rewrite it. I think he said it was either 99 times, don't what? Quote me, or wow. it was like 900 and something times. But he got told no before that song even made it on radio.
And now everyone is singing
exactly, it. Exactly. So you have to be persistent, but you also have to know that you're going to get told no. You're going to get certain doors slammed in your face, but you have to keep going. So be prepared for that. And then thirdly, just have faith. You know that if this is your desire, if this is your dream, that it's going to happen and it's mm-hmm. going to come into fruition and you are going to succeed. You know, believe in yourself no matter how many times people tell you that you can't do something or that they don't see you doing something. You know, I don't buy into the, I don't think that anyone is too young to do anything. You have 10-year-olds that have graduated from college already, you know, so it's not an age factor. It's not a, you know, maturity factor because we're all learning at the end of the day,
right.
You know, but, you know what you're getting yourself into, be prepared, get ready to be told no, but, you know, most importantly, just have faith and know that if public relations is really what you want to get into, you can do it. It awesome. Takes work, but you can do it.
That's great advice. So if people want to learn more about you and about your company, where can they find you?
So you can check out my website. It's www.lynn, that's LYNN, PRmentality.com. They can also follow me on social media, my Twitter. My personal Twitter is at Lynn PRmentality. That's also my personal Instagram. And then the business pages for both Twitter and Instagram are just PR Mentality.
Awesome. So you're going to hang around while we talk to your client,
yes.
Tiffany? Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So Miss Tiffany Nicole Webb, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. So if you can tell our audience just a little bit about yourself and your business.
Yes. Actually, I am the owner of Unique Occasions by T. Nicole, which is a private event planning company that was started here in Atlanta in 2013. It was a business that was birthed through just a passion that I've always had. Like Lindsay said, I actually took a leap in faith after transitioning out of a corporate job or the corporate arena and into a dream or a passion that I've always desired to do, which was event planning. I was actually doing some event planning at my current job. I was head of the social committee, planning all the different department gatherings. Mm-hmm. And it's always been a passion of mine.
That's
since fun. It can be fun. It is very fun. I mean, I've always loved planning events since I was a little girl. I was the little girl always planning my next birthday.
Mm-hmm.
So, and every birthday had to be better than the next. So, and
oh,
I would
you must know my kids.
So I would tell my parents like, okay, we did this, this birthday. So next birthday we have to do this. And uh-huh. they would look at me like, Tiffany, okay, you're not paying for this. So Okay, whatever. Mm-hmm. But so I started my event planning company, like I said, with the passion of just planning. I've always been a person that loved to bring people together for various occasions, celebrations, or even just for an empowering experience. Mm-hmm. Unique Occasions by Tina Cole is an event planning company, so we do provide services for various clients for various events or social gatherings, whether it is a wedding or a birthday celebration, a retirement party, different life-changing events, anniversaries. We also, it's a brand as well. So one of the branding things about Unique Occasions by Tina Cole, because we're an event planning company, because I have a passion for empowering people and bringing people together for a good cause, it's providing a platform for other people or individuals that might need to be empowered in certain areas. I'm also passionate about entrepreneurship. It's something, my educational background is in business. I went to Clark Atlanta University and I got my business, my Bachelor's of Arts degree in business management. Also got my MBA and also in business management with a concentration in healthcare because my career background is in healthcare. Mm-hmm. So it was a track that I initially wanted to go in as far as healthcare administration. I've always been into management and planning, so it was just second nature for me to do something related to planning. Mm-hmm. So because I have a passion for empowering people and also small businesses, I focus on the brand side of providing networking opportunities for small businesses to come together to help empower each other, whatever the focus of that particular networking event may be. It needs to be something that's going to actually provide a platform for them to be empowered, to learn something, to connect with another individual, to take something from it. So that is a component of the Unique Occasions by Tina Cole brand, as well as assisting our clients with their various different occasions.
Awesome. So have you always done, when you started doing the event planning, did you always do the empowerment type thing, or did you ever do like small corporate events and parties, things like that?
Before I started the business, I would, in terms of planning, it would mostly be with my job. It was just different, like departmental, department events and occasions. So during the holidays, one of the reasons that we had the social committee is to increase the team morale amongst the department. Mm-hmm. When you're working in a corporate environment, you're working a typical 9-to-5. You see these same people every day. You typically, depending on your job function, are doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. You don't have the flexibility like an entrepreneur like myself or like Lindsay to be able to be creative. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it can get boring. Sometimes you could feel like you're not challenging yourself. That was one of the reasons why I started my own business, because I was at a point in my life where I was like, okay, I finished grad school. That was challenging. Mm-hmm. That was my open door to kind of expand my mind and, you know, learn some different things besides going to work. But after that short period of time, I'm like, okay, what are you going to do next, Tiffany? Mm-hmm. So when I created my business, it provided me an opportunity to challenge myself, to go after something that, to take me out my comfort and be able to do something that I always loved to do and had a passion for. So the social committee was formed just to create a team morale and to make some fun, to provide fun activity in the office. So like I said, I'm a person that, you know, I love having fun. I love partying. I love the whole part of just having a good time
and too.
Celebrating.
Let's go. Let's get out of here right now.
So, you know, before I actually started my business, it was mostly social gatherings. I was the one in college where, because like I said, I've always, when my birthday came around, we were going to have some fun. Mm-hmm. Whether it was small or big, whether it was a few people or a lot of people, we were going to do something fun. Mm-hmm. So when friends would come up to me, they'd be like, oh, well, Tiffany, you know, they always ask, well, what are we doing for your birthday this year? But then they knew it was something different. It had to be better than the last one. And then also when their, you know, birthdays came around, or even if they just wanted to do a good get together because it was around a holiday, they would come to me with the ideas and be like, Tiffany can, you know, kind of put it together, execute it. She can kind of put the plan together and we can all just pitch in and help. Mm-hmm. And so it was always just family, friends, and social gatherings, but I've always had a passion for it. Mm-hmm. When I started my business, I was able to move into doing more of business type of events, and also looking at this point to expand into the corporate arena with various seminars and conferences and dealing with some corporate clients with annual type events.
So what made you finally decide to take that leap from corporate America to entrepreneurship? And was that scary for you?
Oh, definitely. It was definitely scary. Unlike myself, unlike Lindsay, myself, I actually went from undergraduate to working. So I didn't have, I didn't experience the not having to be forced into entrepreneurship. It was just something that I always wanted to do. I knew I wanted to. I remember in business school, we had to write a business plan because I was in business school. So one of our classes was business planning. And my initial plan was, because I've always also had another passion of mine is healthcare, women's healthcare to be more exact. And my initial plan was to open a community health center, that was an educational center for women to come in and be educated about women's health. But with that, you know, that sometimes that type of community center can take a lot to do. You're dealing with policies, government laws, and it's not an easy process. So when I decided to take a leap of faith and move into entrepreneurship was when I had kind of, I got transitioned out of a job, not wanting to be transitioned out of a job. And it was this period of gap where it's like, okay, you said you wanted to do something that was going to be challenging. You always said you wanted to be an entrepreneur. You've been talking about, you know, starting your own business. Now, what is it that you want to do? Now you have the time. I prayed about it. I was like, God, give me the direction where I should go now. If it is just to continue to move up the corporate arena, that's what I would do. I've always been, any job that I do, even if it's in corporate, in the corporate arena, I take pride in my work. So I'm going to do it my best. I'm going to give it my all. So I said that it's time for me to, I decided just through prayer and faith that just take that faith. I mean, it was a faith step, and it hasn't been an easy road. Like I said, I birthed it in 2013. The first year was just basically dealing with the fundamentals, just doing the research, making sure I was business sound. I didn't want to be a business owner out here that didn't have my legal documents together, didn't have my business license, wasn't a registered business. Just those important elements. Also doing research on event planning. Even though I have a business background, I've never did event planning as a business. So I had to do some research on event planning companies. I had to do that research. And I've also considered, also, even though I have, you know, credibility in, I have educational background. I have an MBA. I'm very educated. I've also, I also have, you know, experience in the workforce. You can all, it's always room to learn. And if you're all, if you have a business in something, you should always be doing training and educating yourself. Yes, you can learn on your own and do the research. And the good thing is in 2015, we have so much available to us without even going to maybe school because it's on the internet. So you, if you want to learn how to do something, you can find it on online. There's no excuses. So you can't say, well, I don't want to pay all that money to go to school, or I don't want to, you know, have to deal with student loans, have to pay that back. If you want to learn some how to do something, you can go online and find it. But with that being said, I've also considered getting some certification in event planning just to make me more credible to my clients. Even though I have, like I said, an educational background, it just makes you more marketable when your clients know this person has also did extra training in her business field, her industry. Also, I think it's important that when you're in any industry that you, networking is important. So if you're in the event planning industry, make sure that you're finding out about those different organizations that are geared towards event planning, so that you can be open up to another arena of information and contacts. There's an organization here in Atlanta that's actually a national organization called the International Service of Event Planning Specialists. And it's an organization that allows you to network with other people that are in that industry. So everybody that's related to event planning, from event planners to photographers to musicians to caterers to florists to whatever you need, you're able to have that contact. Mm-hmm. And I just say with any industry, you make sure that you're always trying to learn and network and train.
Definitely. Because a lot of people are fearful of associating with other people in the industry because they have this whole concept of competition. But if more people realize that teamwork can make the dream work, and partnered with more people and network with more people in their industry, everyone would be better off. So that's a great, great tip. So you, as an entrepreneur, what made you seek a publicist?
Well, I had been looking for a way to expose my business. Mm-hmm. Being a small business owner, it's kind of like you're by yourself trying to push that business.
On this little island.
On this little island, right. And unless the people that are close to you know about what you're doing, usually those are the only people. Or people that you might have worked with, and you tell them, oh, I have this on, you know, I have started my own business event planning, but it doesn't go any further than that. So I knew, you know, last year, I knew that I wanted to take, I needed my business to be exposed on another level. And I knew that I couldn't do all the work to get that exposure. And then I, as an entrepreneur, I know what I'm good at and I know what I'm not good at. So I don't have a problem seeking the resources from somebody that might have that skill set or knowledge that I cannot bring to my business. I'm not, you know, a publicist. I didn't go to school for that. I have no knowledge about that. So I knew that if Unique Occasions by T. Nicole was going to be more than just an event planning company for their clients who needed them to plan their events or their parties or celebrations, and more of a brand, I needed that exposure.
Right.
Because as the brand, I wanted to build a brand, not just the service of the company. And I knew that a publicist would be the one to help with that and help just assist with that vision and executing and branding and, you know, those development areas. And so when I thought about what type of publicist I wanted, I was like, I need a publicist that really is good in their field. Mm-hmm. A publicist that actually is about helping the client, one, and really will be able to get to know me and get to know my vision for this brand and really help me execute that. And what I can say is that Lindsay has done that more, exceeded beyond my expectations in that within the 3 month period. So, and what she said, it is very important that you, when you are a small business owner, that you think about why you might need a publicist. Every business might not need a publicist. So it's not, you know, about just, I'm an event planner. So it's not just about me trying to, oh, maybe get that celebrity client and plan their event so I can just, you know, have that contact or say that I plan
that
such and such.
That one-time brag.
That one-time brag. Because at the end of the day, my thing is a client is a client. Just because they're a celebrity, you can have a good client and they could pay just as much as a celebrity, or they can bring you just as much business as a celebrity because of how you treat them during that experience. So you can't look at a celebrity and think that's going to be your best client. You determine by your service what's your best client and how
I
you
like
make that,
that
client
I'm gonna have to
feel.
Tweet that.
So I knew that I needed a publicist that really could listen to me, understand the vision, understand where I wanted my brand to go. And that was my initial reasoning for seeking a publicist. And Lindsay, like I said, is very good at that. She takes her client serious and she focuses on the client. It's not about her as the publicist being in the spotlight. It's
right.
about the client. And that's important when you think about a publicist. The publicist should be focused on the client and that exposure for the client, that exposure for developing that brand for the client, and not about them being in the spotlight.
Exactly. So tell us a little bit about the event. I know you just had something a couple weeks ago. What was that like and who was it for?
The last event that we just had was a health and beauty expo, and it was actually geared towards women, women in the health and beauty industry or inspiring entrepreneurs or just women that had interests in those areas as far as health and beauty. The platform was designed to provide an opportunity for women to be empowered to hear from entrepreneurs that are up and coming in their industry in those various industries and that are making impact in the community on what they do with their business to empower women in the health and beauty industry, and also an opportunity for women to network with other women in the industry and get some information that could be helpful to them in those areas. We also had some vendors that were there who were also our sponsors that provided product and information in the health and beauty area, nutritional vendors, a few personal trainers were set up, also some people that were in the beauty field as far as a makeup artist and those type things that did beauty demos and provided information to women that were there in that industry. Mm-hmm. So it was a platform to a networking event to empower, to educate, to make, to provide a atmosphere to connect with other women in that area or other women in the Atlanta area.
So do you have anything else coming up?
Yes, actually, because the theme of that actual event was conquering the mind, body, and soul. One of the reasons why that theme was created is because one thing that I do feel as women, because like I said earlier, I also have a passion for women's health. Mm-hmm. And then I have a passion for just entrepreneurs. And I feel that it's important as women entrepreneurs or women business owners that we have a well-balanced life.
Definitely.
And in order for us to be good business owners or just good women in whatever profession we do, we have to take care of our health. Mm-hmm. We have to look a certain way. We have to feel good about ourselves. Mm-hmm. So we also had a panel discussion, and the panelists were hand-picked based on the various industries and based on their abilities to basically reach that audience and empower those women that were in there. We did get great, great reviews from the attendees. Many of the women that attended came to me personally and said they were empowered.
Awesome.
And that was the goal. So
That was
golden, because it wasn't about selling all the tickets. It was mm-hmm. about, it wasn't necessarily about making a profit. It's about empowering those women that were there in those areas. And the panelists were vital in that area. So with that being said, the panelists, this was their first time coming together and being on a panel, but they connected. They connected individually. They all brought different expertise in their industries. But because they connected, they actually reached out to Lindsay. And a few of them reached out to Lindsay and said that they wanted to continue this particular platform
to empower.
it definitely is to empower women in this arena and take it on tour, mm-hmm. Take it to an couple other cities. Nice. They mentioned going to some of their hometown cities where they had kind of a connection to reach those audiences. So within the next few months, we're in the development stage of that, but we're with me and Lindsay and the other panelists are working to create a tour that will be hit in various cities within the United States.
So they need to look out for you.
So
on the
you
road.
Need to look out for that, yes, very
good.
Soon.
Good. So if the listeners want to learn more about you and the events that you plan and everything else that you have going on, how can they learn more?
They can. I have a website. We have a website, which is www.uniqueoccasionsbytinacole.com. And our social media pages are Tina Cole Occasions, which is the Instagram page, mm-hmm. with the S on the end. Tina Cole Occasion, which is the Twitter page, no S on the end for the Twitter page. And Facebook is just Unique Occasions by Tina Cole. Awesome. So anytime there's any events going on, all the information is on those social media pages.
Awesome. Well, thank both of you for joining us. It's a pleasure. I got to learn more about the publicist side and learn more about how Lindsay's been able to help you and help your brand. So this was great. Thank you. Yeah, so I look forward to having you on again after your next event or before your next event, because it sounds like you're doing some big things. Congratulations. Thank you, Lindsay. So this is Lanice Williams signing off on another edition of Business Radio X, Cobb County, where we highlight the best that are in and serving Cobb County. So until next time.